Natural de...
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and Primos are in the house. Ricky Torres, Hector
what
Reyes.
Up?
What's orale. Up, guys?
Órale, Hector's...
Órale.
Yes.
Órale.
Taking a break from Home Improvement to watch some football, man. And enjoy.
And I feel like Tim two-time Taylor. I've been for the last like freaking 2 months, it seems like, man. It's, I was finally able to like sit down yesterday for the first time, and I can't even remember, and just watch sports like with a beer. Like that's the first time that I actually did that. I can't even remember the last time.
It's the American dream,
I did that,
man.
Every
the
weekend,
American dream.
It's always been like something like do this, got to do that, got to go to Lowe's, got to paint, got to, you know, do something with something or something. And there's always been like a to-do list, like a mile long. And I'm already, I'm actually getting, you know, to the light at the end of that tunnel, man. So I was actually able to relax. And,
don't
and,
go to
yeah,
the light.
So I'm very excited, right? Avoid the light. Exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff.
That's when you know it's your home. When you're home and you can just have a beer and just enjoy, Poppy. No,
just
it's good.
Chill.
It's
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. Right, like Al Bundy just chilling there on the couch, man. You know.
Well, everybody out there, gracias for joining us. Whether you're on a couch, a car, you know, running
or
walking your dog, gracias for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our original content at familiaffb.com, as well as our Twitter at familiaffb, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Well, Familia, you know, this morning, just kind of a little, I don't want to call this tough news, just you know, we're putting
concerning
out about, yeah, concerning news. Perfect Bimo, perfect from the nurse. Everybody, thoughts and prayers going out to Tommy Lasorda. Just a special man. He's in the ICU in the hospital, so he's pulled out of these kind of situations before. He's 93, so we're hoping that he recovers and that he's back to giving everybody heck, giving everybody hell out there. Let's just keep thoughts and prayers for Tommy.
Definitely. No idea why he's there. Could be heart, could be COVID related, because he was there at the World Series. But either way, it just tells me he needed basically. He needs fluids, probably antibiotics. He'll be good. He'll be good, hopefully. But I just want to see him celebrating. That's what I want to see.
I want to see him celebrating too. You know, today I was thinking of a story he told. He told a few years back, probably about 5-6 years ago. I got to be lucky. I got to have a very special relationship with him. He absolutely adores my daughters. My daughters all call him Uncle Tommy. I can't tell you how many times they've gotten pictures with him since they were little itty bitty, since Alana was two and since the twins were, fresh out of the womb, he'd be like, okay, give your Uncle Tommy Eskimo kisses. And just a special man. He's, I know he's gruff exterior when it comes to, you know, baseball, but when it comes to little kids, he's just a big teddy bear, just big grandpa. So Uncle Tommy, estamos rezando para ti.
Definite.
And congrats.
I'd like to dedicate my beer to him if I can. It's San Fernando Valley, I'm sure, home of a lot of Dodger fans, 818 Brewing, Bag of Hops. It's their West Coast double IPA. So I won't pour any on the ground, but I will definitely have a sip in his honor.
Oh, definitely have a sip in his honor. And yeah, that one's, 818 is in my backyard. So I love that place. Definitely recommend it. But I am actually found a Bear Republic. Bear Necessities is
nice.
what I'm having right now. It is a malted barley.
So, either way.
But it's an ale.
A sip for Tommy. Have
absolutely.
A sip for Tommy.
Salud. Salud. Oh, and heck, today for your mom's birthday, what'd you guys sell? What'd you guys,
we had some monkish is always at the ready when we have a little family.
You guys will find any excuse to bring monkish. It's your mom's birthday. And let me remind you guys, your mom who gave birth to these beer connoisseurs, wine connoisseurs, just like 2-3 Christmases ago, she came up to me and handed me a drink, and I sipped it, and she goes, "It's good, huh?" She said, "It's Corona with Sprite."
Yes.
And yes, I was just like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Get her. That woman faves. Some monkish.
It's one of her faves, man. Oh. What can I say? Today's my mom's birthday, so happy birthday,
happy
Mom.
Happy birthday, we'll send it
out. And Dorita, too, right,
happy
George?
Birthday.
Prima Dorita. Yep, my sister Dorita. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dorita.
Happy birthday to her. So, yeah, this is November. Yeah, this is birthday week.
So your mom does the Corona Sprite thing often?
Yeah, that's one of her go-tos. She you know, whenever there's Sprite around, I guess, and Corona around. She'll mix them together, and it's kind of like a, like what they call it, a Radler, you know, like lemonade. And like in Germany, I think that's a common
for her,
beer and lemonade. So there's it's pretty common around the world actually to mix beer with stuff. So
not at our family get-togethers.
No, yeah, generally her. Not, but yeah, she digs it. She digs it.
I will say that one of my friends turned me on to probably like 15, 20 years ago, Corona and vodka.
Oh, wow.
And you basically what happens is you drink about a shot's worth of Corona and then you refill it back with a shot of vodka, and then you make sure you got some citrus, a lemon or a lime, you turn it upside down, and then oh my goodness.
It's like a sake bomb almost.
Yeah, and you can't have more than two. Because
not suggest more than two.
You're flying after that. You are flying. It's awesome. So good. Good times. Good times. And good times for Dustin Johnson today.
He's definitely going to have a couple of those.
I really hope so. I really hope so. Wearing the green jacket. God. Oh.
Yeah. Minus 20. That's, he ran off with it. He ran away with it. So good for him. It's good to see them still being able to pull this off, like as far as still have the competition.
Sporting events. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, good for him. His win was boring compared to the ones we have in the NFL.
Yeah, but the best thing about winning the Masters is that next year he gets to choose the menu for the dinner that they have over there. That would be like the main reason to want to win.
I would go Trump style and I would get all fast food.
I get to pick like what everybody's going to eat. That would be such a cool thing, man.
And that's what Tiger picked.
You can pick anything.
That's what we do for our draft.
Yep.
He did like burgers?
No. Yeah, for the draft, we get to pick the menu.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. But I'm talking about, like, this is like for the Masters, like for all the champions and all like the whole, you know, the whole, you know, all the entrants, all the players and, you know, their families, everyone eats like what you pick. Like you get to pick exactly what everybody's going to eat. Like how cool is that?
Well, Tiger, the first time he won, he picked burgers.
Oh, okay.
Wow. So what would you guys pick?
Oh, barbecue, man. Texas barbecue. Ooh, all day heck long, no. Man.
Seafood.
Texas
seafood.
Barbecue. No, man. Texas
you're talking
barbecue.
Lobster, crab legs, mashed potatoes. God.
There's a lot of options.
I'm a toss up between enchiladas or a big, nice carne asada.
Boom.
Cook
out. Have a taquero. OG taquero from like Pacoima. At Augusta, man. That'd be like super legit, bro.
Al
pastor, pollo, we got asada. Which one do you want? Like, damn, the Masters. Like, that'd be like sick.
Hey, speaking of which, guys, there was a recent debate on La Cueva del Fan. Our friends over at La Cueva del Fan, they were talking about, that's the one that they had me on as a guest back in September. They had a conversation about quesadillas with no queso, sin queso. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is it? Apparently, in some parts of Mexico, that's an option. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I even wrote them on Twitter. I said, quesadilla sin queso is not queso.
It's a taco.
It's not a quesadilla. It's a, yeah. I'm like, put some mantequilla on it. And it's a taco de mantequilla.
It's a taco.
Yeah.
It's getting lazy. That's them getting lazy. I mean, but that's them getting whatever. Modern like America. Just whatever. Like being fancy. Ay, miras sin queso. Yes,
I don't get it.
That's just weird. Whatever. Hey, I'm like, to each his own. To each his own.
Hey, I mean, like, I'm lactose intolerant, so you know, I got to really either I do non-dairy, or I know I'm going to suffer. So a really good quesadilla would
take
really
one for the team.
Yeah, you melted cheese. Man. Oh,
your wife knows what you got into.
All day.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, speaking of getting into, let's do some highlights before we get into the show. I don't know what was more exciting than the ending to that Arizona.
It exploded out of nowhere the last like 10 minutes of the game.
It's what is it about the fourth quarter about some games? But yeah, that game itself. I mean, who thought it was over when Allen threw the touchdown to Stephon Diggs?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was in the restroom. I think I was just going pee, and that's how quick they made it happen. And I was a little excited because I had him in DraftKings. And then, you know, I was like, oh, can Kyler really do it in a minute? Like, I think I looked at it as like a minute, 5 seconds. Sure enough. And I don't want to say he didn't deserve it because the first 30 seconds of it, they were very lazy. But, wow. What a throw. What a way to stay open, or Kyler's way to stay up and beat the blitz, not the blitz, but the rush. And then what can you say about D-Hop grabbing it within three people? Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And that was just two players making two incredible plays. I mean, Kyler's run, I mean, he was almost out of bounds, and he threw against his, you know, he's rolling out to the left, and he throws it as a right-handed quarterback. I mean, he's throwing against, you know, all the momentum going on in his body. And then, yeah, D-Hop just going a 50-50 ball against three defenders, just a baller, absolute baller.
They couldn't do that again.
Amazing. Oh, and the Rams kind of the first team to shut down the Seahawks this year.
I would say shut down.
I mean, if you're a fantasy player and you played Russell Wilson, he scored 5 points. That's shut down. I mean, it's based on
Russell Wilson 13 had points or something like that.
But from a fantasy standpoint, he got shut down. He's used.
They tried spreading the ball. They just couldn't do it, no matter where they went, and their defense is just not allowing them to put themselves in a healthy position. But you know what? They're all over the place right now. Wait till they get Carson back.
They'll be a different team. But yeah, the one thing about Russ is that, you know, he's turning the ball over. He threw another couple picks today. I mean, we'll talk, you know, a little preview of Adios Mio, but he got sacked 6 times. He's getting hit a lot right now. So, I mean, the Rams, their defensive line is no joke. But when you look
at a lot of hits, he's taking a lot of beatings back
the
there.
The last 3 weeks, it just seems like he's been getting a lot of hits. And hopefully they don't accumulate, or one big one just takes him out, because he's just a beautiful ball player to watch.
Man.
Ricky, tell us about the, you know, the showdown, Tua versus Herbert.
No. Very disappointing. That's all I want to say. I wish Herbert did more. He definitely did do more than Tua, but not enough to win. Just couldn't move the ball, man. I mean, wasn't on red zone enough, so I can't tell you exactly what went wrong. They had nothing. They had no running game either.
Yeah, they definitely didn't have a running game. I was watching that game and Rams Seahawks also. It just seemed like, I mean, Herbert was definitely getting hit some, and he was getting pressured quite a bit. That Miami defense has
that Miami defense. Rate.
It is, and that's why I picked them up off the waiver wire last week. They are real.
Sneaky good pack.
They are
stretch.
Real. Yep, they are.
That's
real.
A real that's team. For sure. That's a real good team. Tua made some good throws. He only threw 469 yards, but definitely had a good game. He had a good game. He just made some beautiful throws. Herbert made some good throws too. He had one. Primo, I'm going to tell you, he missed Mike Williams
by a lot.
Oh, and Mike Williams was by himself.
Yeah,
solo. Estaba solo.
It was just the position Herbert's body was in. But that tells you how much of a rush Miami had on him the whole game. So
he was hearing footsteps for sure.
It sucked. But you know what? Just back off, haters. Back off.
Oh, yeah. It's one game.
We're losing a lot of games. So we're going to get a nice draft pick to hopefully add to our line or to something. Wait till we get Eckler back. Wait till we get our line healthy. Wait till we get our defense healthy. But I'm done talking about this. What's next?
I said, well, I just want one last thing. I sit there and it's like, to me, the only thing that the Chargers are missing is improvement on that offensive line. You add an offensive line to that and Herbert to continue to improve, you got a Super Bowl contender. So, I mean, yeah. We're talking about him having an off game. He got three touchdowns, two passing, one rushing. I mean, it's like,
Not good enough for him.
Next time. He's got what, seven more games to go to make right. And, you know, we got another reminder. We got to be checking the weather for games, you know, Cleveland.
And who was looking at this in Cleveland, though, where, it, you know, clear skies, all that, but that wind was just horrid.
Oh.
You look at them every time they call a penalty, they throw it towards the penalty. It goes 20 yards out. And then you look at the referees and everything's flapping around them. It was a crazy game. And for a team that had to rely on their passing because they had no running because Mixon was out, it was just downhill for them the whole game.
I wonder if some of these areas are going to start popping up at some point. I don't know, maybe in the next 10, 20 years, start getting dome stadiums in some of these areas. Cause like you're looking at what Green Bay, they were running the crazy winds, and then New England, that was just, they were playing in a monsoon. So on Sunday Night Football,
Green Bay for sure is never getting a dome stadium ever. Nah, nah. So that's that conversation. That's a non-starter.
They want that though. They want that. They love that element.
Oh, it's a great advantage.
They have to understand that because of that, they will never host a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Ever, but that's okay. They're okay with that.
Exactly.
You know what? It's the team,
but there's no infrastructure,
so the people get to decide.
Even if they built a dome, I mean, they need a lot more than that. So, obviously, any city that hosts a Super Bowl needs hotels, you know, tons of hotels and tons of restaurants. I don't know if Green Bay is set up to host, you know, that many people at one time, you know, for a major event.
I think they're getting exactly what they want from that team.
Yeah,
exactly. They do, and you know, hopefully they get to. They can get up to the NFC Championship and hopefully sending their teams off. By the way, somebody was, you know, my wife picked up an Aaron Rodgers jersey for me. He's been one of my favorite players for about 10 years. And a friend of hers was cleaning stuff out and had one, got that discount, the free, and nothing better.
Double check. She got that discount. Jeez. Double check.
I exactly. Cool, yeah, the Aaron.
Now, speaking of weather, though.
The Aaron discount.
Boom.
Speaking of weather, that New England game got crazy rainy at the end. I felt like I could hear thunder. That was crazy at the end. Just seeing the rain pour down. I was like, poor Lamar. There's no way you're throwing in this. Like, it's over.
And he had a decent game, and I think he's rounding into form. But yeah, that was a tough one. Well, like Nequan Heck, let's review the best bets.
A ver.
Well, we'll start with Nico.
I was 2-2. Okay, start with Nico. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, but yeah, we'll start with Nico. 2-2. He was 2-2-1. He had losses with Tennessee -2 and Baltimore on Sunday Night Football -7. He had a push on Cleveland versus Houston. We'll talk about the crazy part with that one. And then victories with Vegas -5 and Miami -2.5. Hector, talk to us.
Yeah, baby. Well, I crapped the bet, obviously. Seattle +2. that didn't quite work out. So took the loss there. Jacksonville +13. They covered against Green Bay. That's that, like that pick. Carolina +5, not so much. And then Miami 2.5 underdogs against the Chargers, and they took that one. Yeah, Tua, I like him going forward. He just looks good. I just like the way he slings it, man. The guy just, he throws darts, man. He's like lasers. I mean, I'm really looking forward to how he develops. He's still a rookie, obviously, but man, the way that he throws the ball reminds me so much of like Steve Young.
So much.
Even more so, or maybe not more so, but also like remembering Michael Vick, the way Michael Vick would mm-hmm. throw those laser beams in there as well. But man, I just love the way he throws his mechanics. I'm looking forward to a lot of great things come from Tua for sure.
Yeah, the Carolina one I'm sure was tough because, you know, Tampa Bay coming off that horrible loss, and it's in Carolina. Carolina's been playing well. Teddy, you know, we'll talk about Teddy B, what happened to him during the game. But no, it's just tough one, tough one. In Seattle, you know, that was a lot of people were picking Seattle to win that game outright.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Oh, well, let's get into Los injuries. Drew Brees fell on, you know, he got tackled, sacked. Fell on the ball and you know, he injured his ribs and he left at halftime with 76 yards passing and didn't
come
back.
They didn't need him. They didn't need him. Why chance it is like they didn't need him. And oh my God, how ugly did Winston look? Ugh.
Oh yeah, that was it was like he was thinking out there. He was thinking too much and not trying to play.
Yeah,
that's always, that's always kind of been his thing. I mean, I think he's just, I don't know. He's never really looked comfortable, you know, as an NFL quarterback. I mean, you know, history shows the guy has thrown so many picks over the years. He just, there's something there that just, he just doesn't, either doesn't grasp it or.
There's plays where I feel like he just needed to throw it. He just needed to throw it, but then he stopped and is like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think to your point, I think he overthinks what he needs to do back there. And it's obviously led to way too many picks. And yeah, that's just kind of, you know, that's as Jameis Winston goes, you know, that's just kind of how he's been and how he'll probably continue to be is what it is.
Well, you know, and depending on what's going on with Drew Brees' ribs, I mean, it could be he misses a couple of games, which is tough because they're really starting around into form, but if Brees is out, you know, hopefully Winston is better with, you know, practicing as the number one guy instead of the backup.
He didn't make Michael Thomas look any better.
Nope. So. Nope. And that cost me in DFS.
Ouch.
I was really counting on that second game back from Michael Thomas where he's just going to blow up. I spent some money on him and nada.
I told you when he told me that whole spiel about it, I was like, that's some science, man. That's some science you're going on, but whatever.
Well, the science.
Did you win at all today?
No, I had I was winning, and then all of a sudden, nobody scored touchdowns for me in the afternoon. I had the stack of Goff and Kupp because the slot receivers have been killing the Seattle Seahawks all season, and nothing. I mean, they had a few connections, but all the touchdowns from the Rams were on the ground today. So tough, you know, that plus Michael Thomas just blew me up. So that was with everybody in the morning going off and playing well. But Teddy Bridgewater suffered a knee injury. It was on his right knee, at the opposite knee from which one he got
the reconstruction.
Injured.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's a good thing at least.
So went into medical tent, but yeah, I mean, he was definitely limping around. So it's not like he got carted off. But yeah, Andrew Whitworth did get carted off. It looked like Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle for the Rams.
Okay.
I feel that offensive linemen are incredibly important in this game. So this is going to be a big, this
I
could
just
be
wasn't
a big,
sure if it was like a second string quarterback. Cause that's not the name. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. It looked like, I mean, somebody got tackled into the side of his, I think it was right leg. And it
he's,
just looked
yeah. Ugly. He's the popular guy that Russell Wilson went to go say, what's up?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So vamos a ver. That one hurts. And cause he's a good guy. He's very much. I mean, I've heard him interviewed many, many times and he's just so well-spoken, such a good community guy. And, you know, he put up on Instagram, just, you know, a very, you know, he's a man of faith. He put out there a really nice message on Instagram. So
God, so many people have a crush on this guy.
No, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Jalen Richard for the Raiders suffered a chest injury. So that was and he did not return to the game. Traquan Smith over New Orleans. He
ugly concussion.
Bad concussion. Oh, fail. Davante Adams came out of the game with an ankle injury, but that I'm sure is going to be something that we're going to keep an eye on. He returned and scored a TD, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's going to come up on the injury report. I can almost predict that he won't practice on Wednesday. So, I'm sad. Mike Davis suffered an injury, a finger injury, but he did return. So
get out of the way. Let CMC play.
Listo, listo, CMC listo. He definitely looked ready on the bench today. He looked like he was chomping at the bit. So, well, speaking of the guys who were chomping up a lot today, let's go to the Ay Mijo guys, Los Chingones. Ay, Los Chingones. Quarterbacks, Big Ben. So he's on the COVID list all week, rehabbing a knee injury. He comes off the COVID list on Saturday so that he's eligible to play on Sunday and goes off for 333 yards and four touchdowns.
That's nuts. With, four TDs. Wow. Yes, he went bananas.
In rain in that and ugly wind, weather.
In that ugly weather, which pissed me off because James Conner did nothing in a game where he should have been running like crazy. But Big Ben, big ups, put you at the top of the list. Oh, ese muchacho. Good job. And I sat him in our Familia League.
Oh, he only missed out on four touchdowns.
Oh, that's all. Oh, is that all?
Sad him for Goff. Ah, yeah, Dios mío.
Well, Brady came back, right? Looks like Brady came back from last week's disaster of a game with 341 yards passing, three TDs, and gave the, you know, the I don't know if is there a term for like the Brady burst or the Brady bomb?
You just
or whatever,
called
like,
it.
Whatever you want to call it, because the guy's been doing this for his entire career. Those, you know, when Tom Brady's on the 1 yard line, it's, you know, more likely than not, the guy just likes to run it in himself, and he usually cashes it in. And of course, once again today, same thing, that Brady bomb, whatever you want to call it, 1 yard line, boom, he runs it in. So one rushing TD, three passing TDs, just an overall great bounce back game for.
It was funny. It was like fourth and two, like third had just happened. And as they're going back, like the coach, I don't even know what he was doing, but even the announcers are like, yep, the coach is just saying, we'll let TB decide the play. We'll let TB. And then sure enough, Tom Brady wanted to go ahead on fourth down. Is like,
of course. Oh my God.
Like he's just running that team, playing it the way he wants to play. So he needed to do this for himself just for confidence.
Especially coming off of that last game, he needed this one, you know, against the Saints. He needed this one. And well, we talked about him a little. Ricky, you want to spew a little more about your boy Kyler?
Well, if it wasn't for that last play, Kyler Murray would have had under 200 yards throwing and wouldn't even have a touchdown. But because of that, he got 245 yards, one interception, one touchdown. But his running game was just insane. 61 yards, two touchdowns. Both of his touchdowns just walking in, almost being able to hold the ball up like that, not having to dive. He's looked so good when he's running because he's doing it untouched, and he just knows how to do it. He's used to, like, he's a baseball player. He knows how not to get touched, you know, by the glove. So he knows how to stay away from another player because he probably practiced pickle a lot. So this guy's just paying dividends to those who waited on it and picked him at the right time.
Like somebody I know, huh?
Yeah, like me in a lot of leagues. Oh my God. In our family league, I have D Hop too. Oh my God. That was awesome to see.
And the guy on the other side, Josh Allen, had himself a game, 284, two touchdowns, two interceptions.
And it took him till the last time too, because he would have had only under 250 yards, only one touchdown, two interceptions, but he got lucky with that Diggs throw. When he caught the reception, I thought it was cute. That number one thing he thought of was to give the ball to the receiver who threw the ball to him, you know, so he can save it. So anyway.
And that was kind of receiving touchdown for Josh Allen. That was kind of neat.
I love those. I love it when like they give the ball to the lineman to spike it. You know, all those things.
Right.
Yeah, just get, you know, share the wealth. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Aaron Rodgers was sharing the wealth today. I mean, even in that horrible weather, he still ended up with 325, two touchdowns, and then he added a rushing touchdown. Just, I mean, absolute stud. Absolute stud. And
Matthew Stafford, disappointing because this 276, three touchdowns he threw with no interceptions all happened like the first half of the game, because after that they held
nothing, right?
And just at the end he was able to do it right so they can get a quick field goal for like 59 yards or whatever. So disappointing, because I was hoping the field goal would miss and we'd actually get to see Stafford throw another touchdown or at least go over 300 yards. But yeah, disappointing for him, even though it was a good day for him. It could have been much, much more.
He needed that. I have Stafford. I benched him for
you Drew needed Locke. That, not him.
He won the game. Well, luckily, I won the game too, starting Drew Locke.
Okay.
So luckily.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Drew Locke soon enough.
For sure.
You know what? I feel like COVID scares make people throw better.
You know what? How many guys are coming back from COVID and playing well? I mean, it's just
except for that one guy in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Ugh.
But that's a lot to be said for him.
Oh, man. Well, Jared Goff, I put him on here because he went for 302 yards, but still a little disappointed.
Other than that.
Yeah, no touchdowns. Just
5-point bonus.
It was, yeah, I did get the 5-point bonus. No, but
For some people, we don't do that. I think ours is 400 or 350.
No, 400 yards is another bonus. 300 is a bonus, and 400 is another bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you sit there and it's like he came so close. I had Gerald Everett in one of my leagues, and he went out at the 1 yard line, and it looked like he was in, but the replays showed that he was barely down, like inside the 1 yard line. And then Daryl Henderson, and then Malcolm Brown. We'll talk about him in a second, but so that was a disappointment, especially because you know I mentioned how I had him in DFS. One guy, let's clap it up for Alex Smith, guys.
Oh.
So I'm raising one to you, Alex Smith. 390 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, but in your first start of 2018.
A lot of yards, man.
Coming back from a, you know, nearly
and leading the league. Leading the league in yards.
Yeah. For the week.
Just catastrophic leg injury. You. Catastrophic
hey,
leg
we don't
injury.
Hey, we don't gotta remember that.
17 surgeries. Ideal meal. Well, last quarterback, Lamar Jackson, did end up with 249 yards, 2 touchdowns, also added 55 yards. So he definitely was a lot more free in his running today and seemed to have a little bit better accuracy with his passing. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come because he's such a beautiful player.
Yeah, man.
We had a lot of Chingon running backs today. I mean, one of the things that I found, I mean, I'm run through some of these, but there were 7 running backs who had at least 2 touchdowns today. Ricky, your boy, Alvin Kamara, you know, he had a big game, even though
only 15 yards.
15 yards rushing.
Wow. But 3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns, what? Under 100 yards all purpose. But he's only my second round draft pick. So to be expected.
Ronald Jones ripped off that 98 yarder, finished with 192 yards and a touchdown. Just a big day. Josh Jacobs, 112
that
yards.
That guy was a beast today.
Phenomenal. He was phenomenal. And that's a really good run defense to be doing that against.
Nick Chubb went off today. I should have picked him in DFS because he was going against a crappy defense, but I just thought, okay, it's his first game back out, but nope. 126 yards with a touchdown. Could have had 2 touchdowns, but he did it for the team. He should have just made the touchdown. Who cares?
Can you imagine people in Vegas watching this game and just, you know, having money on the Browns -3? And he just steps out at the 1. Oh,
yeah, but that was a touchdown.
Brian Westbrook.
No, it wasn't Westbrook. It was
no. Gurley did that. Gurley did that earlier this season.
No, Gurley did the opposite.
Where he fell in. Yeah.
A few years.
No.
It was
more than a few years.
The Jaguars. The UCLA running back.
Oh,
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew, exactly. He did that. And then at the press conference at the end, he's like, yeah, I want to apologize to all my fantasy owners. That was so funny. He was like, I'm sorry, guys. I had to do it. It was awesome.
Hey, we need to digress for a second because, heck, we didn't have you on. We missed you on the next couple of shows after your Corazon Roto, autocorrect.
Stat correction.
Stat corrections.
You had to bring that up, George. I was having a good day, man.
We needed your reaction.
So let's follow up. At the end of last Sunday, I was unofficially, I guess, the winner. I had won
even after Monday.
Yeah, after Monday, I had won by 0.98 points. So I took it as a victory. You know, Stafford went down with injury. He only scored 6 points, you know, but I was up by 0.98 and everything was done. And I was happy, like Rick said, even after Monday. And then come like, I think it was wet Tuesday afternoon.
It was
maybe,
Tuesday. Or it was Tuesday
afternoon.
Yeah.
I get a message that there was a stat correction that one of my opponents, Tony, his receiver, I guess they had credited him with a fumble, and
it was actually, on special teams.
It was on special teams, or it was somebody else that fumbled it. So they gave
I think it was a muff punt, but because it was on special teams,
it didn't count.
Exactly.
Didn't count for scoring. So instead of winning by 0.98, I lost by 0.02.
That's the worst Corazón Roto I've ever seen.
And I won today, but I'm 5-5. But technically, I could be at 6-4 right now, which is
could
a big
be.
Difference.
Could so. Be.
Big difference.
That's what we call.
That's an if. I use if. I know that's a big.
Oh
if.
Yes, drink.
Let me. I was gonna get us back on track, but what were you gonna say, Egg?
Oh yeah, I was saying I only said it just because you guys asked me to explain the situation, so I had to use it because that's the situation. So there you go.
I'm still happy you got a win because you got to make us look good on here.
Yes, sir.
Kareem Hunt, surprisingly, he surprised me. He got over 100 yards. They should have done this. They played against a weak defense. I just didn't trust them because I hate Cleveland. But he still got over 100 yards rushing and 28 yards receiving, which is low for him. I was expecting more from him.
Yeah, you look at this game and you're like, he ended up playing better with Chubb stealing carries from him.
Yeah.
And so, but I mean, this was definitely a game that you were going to run because they weren't going to be throwing too much in this one.
That's what they need to do the rest of the season.
That's the recipe for success. That's how that team's going to win. And New England got the win riding Damian Harris, 21 carries for 121 yards, no touchdowns, but he was just he was good. Rex Burkhead, he ended up having 66 total yards and 2 touchdowns, so he was the touchdown machine for them. So again, they're, you know, that's New England for you. And you know, James White got his carries, but. I will say, Familia, you know, the sound that you're hearing right there, that's me patting myself on the back. I started DeAndre Swift on two of my teams today. One of them, I actually started him over Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool as my flex. So very proud of myself on that. Of course,
it's tough. I wish you could play all of those players.
Oh, I wish I could play all of those players. That's I ended up with a good draft on that team. So that was my 14 team league too. So that team's pretty stacked. James Robinson, 109 yards on 23 carries. Antonio Gibson ended up with 45 yards. He was one of the two touchdown guys.
Gallman, 2 touchdowns.
Wayne Gallman, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. JD McKissick, 15 targets.
Watching that game. He was passing to him every other play. It was incredible. All the time McKissick was getting it. So I think he's one guy you got to look out for DFS because he's going to be cheap.
Yep. And he's just a PPR monster. A PPR monster. Back with the Raiders, Devontae Booker.
Revenge game.
That's right.
Otherwise, this guy ain't playing, Georgie.
Amazing. Amazing. 81 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's why they didn't need to throw because they were running all over them.
And to think, if they didn't give it to him, Josh Jacobs would have 2 more touchdowns. So they just ran all over this defense.
Oh, and this was very getting back to him, it's very much a get right game because people have been calling him kind of a bust. But this could be where he just kind of hits a different gear and really sells.
Games have been a bust except for like a few.
Just a few, yeah. You know, I did a little thing the other day where there were 10 running backs that were on average that were taken in the first round. I figured out only 3 of them have paid off on that first round pedigree. Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, and Derrick Henry. Seven guys have been busts in one way or another, either injury or...
And it's tough to say that about CMC, but yeah, I guess he hasn't played.
Yeah.
But when he plays, he's a beast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know what? He could pay off for... I mean, you've got him. He could pay off for you, you know, if you make the fantasy playoffs, because he's just...
I got Kamara. CMC. I'm good.
Oh, well, let's get into the receivers. D-Hop, again... that was one of the grabs of the year, one of the catches of the year. Phenomenal. 127 yards, seven receptions, one touchdown.
They needed this to rebound off last week's fatty nothing.
Yeah. Cole Beasley, 11 of 13 targets for 109 yards and a touchdown to balance out Stephon Diggs, catching 10 balls for 93 yards and a score.
And Cole Beasley is going to be a factor from now on. John Brown took a nasty little knee injury at the end.
Ooh.
So I feel like Cole Beasley, definitely hop on him. Look at how many targets this guy got. So, get him if you see him in the waivers.
Yeah, I missed John Brown's injury. I would have put him in III, heal up. Marquez Valdes-Scantling caught four balls for 149 yards.
I knew it. I said, I'm sure one of the wide receivers other than Davante Adams is going to look good. Sure enough, MVS did it like right away.
It was like a 78 yarder, right? Or something like that. It was
even longer than that, I think. But it was just, I just knew it was going to happen. I just didn't bet on it. Someone who you should always bet on when Galladay isn't playing is Marvin Jones.
That's right.
He's going to get a touchdown. He's going to get the looks. And last week, I think he only got like 60 yards or whatever. This week, 96 yards, eight receptions, and a touchdown. Galladay will play again, but in case Galladay does what he usually does and is injured for another 3
Jones
weeks,
is your guy. Yep.
Jones is who you want.
Yep.
And you know what? And who you want is a Pittsburgh receiver from here on out. When
all of them did good.
They all got
Washington, but the top three did great.
And they all got 10 or more. They all got 10 or more
targets. Yeah, look at that. Wow.
And a windy ass day.
Yes. Oh, and Claypool actually had two touchdowns. So just those guys, you just get them all on your roster and you fire them up. Fire them up. T. Higgins also on the other side of the sideline.
Any relation to the other Higgins in Cleveland?
I don't know. I
think so.
We'll put our best rookies. People. We'll put our best people on it. So
one of our Thias.
Exactly. Guinness Richard Higgins. Guinness ese Jay. Guinness ese vato.
Guinness su madre.
He needs to eat. Él está muy flaco. Let's get him some food. Let's get him some carne asada, menudo. Brandon Ayuk ended up with 75 yards and a touchdown. He got 14 targets today. I mean, that was definitely with Deebo Samuel out, but.
It's hard to trust that team because no one wants to pick up any of those players.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's definitely
with Mullen throwing.
Yeah, it's hard to trust that. And over in Tampa Bay, closing it out with those guys, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, AB, all got plenty of targets. Stupid.
I hate seeing AB do good.
And he looked pretty good.
He's back.
He looked pretty good at various points. He looked like himself. And, Tommy.
Those hands, man. These guys has got it's incredible hands. It's pretty amazing.
Evans is a goal line monster just all the time. Tom Brady goes to him. So, God, if you could trade for him, get that guy.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, their trade deadline was last week. So
I still have another 2 weeks in another league.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, the tight ends were kind of quiet because Travis Kelce was on a bye, but Gronk, I mean, continuing the Tampa Bay trend, he was the tight end one with two catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. But yeah, the touchdown was like a 40 yarder. So
he was tight end one.
He was tight end one today.
That's what happens when Kittle and Kelce.
What's up with Mark Andrews? Mark Andrews hasn't had a touchdown since week 5. What is going on with that
guy?
Well,
it's more of a Lamar Jackson issue, but we'll see what's going on.
I mean, crazy.
He's got time to repair, but I mean that whole team's gonna have a come to Jesus moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, it definitely. I mean, they've got. I mean, we've talked about it. They've got a great closing schedule, where I think Andrews will definitely get some play. But it just
I mean, traded that's been a Hunter Henry too.
I mean, your Chargers have an incredible closing schedule too. for receivers, for anybody catching the ball, I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm never going to play him again the rest of the season. It just happened to be that Kelce had the week off. But, yeah, thank you, Manny. You made me look good this week.
Well, I will say, actually, Mark Andrews, I had Gronk as the tight end one. Actually, Mark Andrews was the tight end one in PPR with 61 receiving yards and seven receptions. So you had actually, he and Gronk tied at 13.1 fantasy points, just ahead of Hunter Henry. So, but yeah, I mean, it just shows how non-deep the tight end position is. It's just it's a wasteland when Kelce and Kittle are watching from the sidelines. So let's get into Ay Dios mío.
Oh no, Russell Wilson, man, that was the shocker today. Russell Wilson, fantasy wise, 5 points. I mean, that's just. Six sacks. Like you said, he's just getting beat up back there. He had a fumble, 248 yards passing, two picks. He's just a rough day. I don't know what's going on with that O-line over there in Seattle, but they need to do something quick because, like you said, he's been getting beat up last couple weeks, and that cannot continue because I have DK Metcalf, and I need him to do more than what he did today. We'll get into that in a second. But, yeah, he is the top of the list of the Ay Dios mío, just like, ugh.
Well, right behind him is Drew Lock. That guy.
I sat Stafford for Drew Lock because Stafford, with Galladay out, has just been just crapping the bed last couple of weeks. So I just figured the trend would continue. Luckily, even with Drew Lock crapping the bed himself today, I still got a victory over Brian. So I'm happy with that. But Drew Lock four picks. Against the mediocre or average Raider defense,
they're bad. They're bad. They're bottom of they're bottom five.
I was trying to be diplomatic there a little bit. They're bad.
they're bad. What are they? They are. I have them. What's their ranking against? Let's see. Where did I have that? They are number 27 against the quarterback. So they're bad.
Wow. They're bad. And then Deshaun Watson, that's a shocker. I mean, with D-Hop gone, like, what is really happening with the Houston offense? I mean,
That was wind. That was the weather.
Wind related.
That was the weather.
He can also run, right? He can also run. And
he didn't do much.
He didn't really do much. So that was kind of shocking.
I think get him back on his in their dome. I think he'll be fine. To me, a big surprise is Derek Carr. I mean, I know they were able to run the ball a lot today, but you really expected that game really just was not the way I expected it to, because it was supposed to be.
They're going to be able to run on him the whole game.
You didn't think so?
They did. Derek Carr wasn't needed, therefore Waller wasn't needed. So,
and I had a chill day for them. And I had Ruggs as a player on the waiver wire column that I just I was hyping him up, but nope, not this week. And one guys, what are we gonna what do I? I've got James Conner on two teams. What do I do with him? This is like 3 weeks in a row that he's been fine. Underwhelming.
I mean, he'll get to it. I don't know, man.
The Steeler receiving corps is so they just give defenses fits, and that's what freaking Big Ben wants to do. As long as defenses are not able to stop the receivers, Big Ben's just going to throw. He's just that's what he
eventually
wants to do.
They're gonna
that's what he's
to
going
run
to
it.
Do. Well, we'll see.
When they play tough defenses, they have to run it. Well, just don't worry. James Conner's a good piece to have. Not the most consistent, but when he hits. So he's a good piece to have right now. Running backs are very rare right now. So be happy you have him, because eventually he'll get you your 15 to 20 points. Don't worry. Just sometimes he's not. And be happy that happens now and not during the playoffs.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, the running backs who were out this week because of injury. And I think I had like seven Caballo running backs, and that's not counting Ezekiel Elliott, who was sidelined just because it was this bye week. But yeah, it's just, I mean, right now it is just a battle of attrition with running backs. And if you got them, hold them tight. Put him in bubble wrap and don't let him get hit except for Sunday. You talked about the Rams. You touched on that one. Buffalo's another frustrating backfield. I mean, they passed a lot today, but Zach Moss and Devin Singletary both 35 yards combined rushing.
They didn't even do good for one running back. So just stray away from them. We've been saying it for a while. Stray away from that situation.
Yeah. And definitely Seattle is waiting for Chris Carson to come back because DJ Dallas, I think the magic's run out.
And they look like they're trying to do something with Alex Collins. So he looked better than Dallas, but it's like you guys got to get back to whatever your old stuff was because right now you guys are off. No, so it's like just, you lose a game.
Yeah, and they're out of it. Yeah, they're definitely off kilter. Yeah, that offense is a little bit has definitely been off last few weeks. Definitely.
So we'll see what happens.
I think they'll be back soon enough. They've got.
Because even look at DK Metcalf, 2 receptions, 28 yards. Just ugly.
Ugly.
Well, he had the Jalen Ramsey shadow today, and Jalen Ramsey.
I don't care. You want to tell me you're a top wide receiver? It should not matter. But whatever. Well, great wide receiver.
Well, he only had four
game.
Targets. He only had four targets. I mean, he got 14 yards a catch. So that'll work. You know, just he only got four targets. What do you want the guy to do?
Good job making excuses for him.
Well, I will say that Troy Aikman was talking about it, and he was kind of comparing to when he played with Deion Sanders, and he said he'd go like a couple of weeks without anybody throwing at him once because he was just that good that the quarterbacks just stayed away from him. And it looks like that's what happened today with Jalen Ramsey on DK Metcalf. And though I will say Metcalf beat Jalen Ramsey once where Ramsey slipped and the ball just was overthrown by a hair and he missed it. So, Michael Thomas, I don't know what's going on. ¿Qué pasó con ese?
And if Drew Brees is out, don't expect anything else.
Right.
Should have traded him when you could have.
It's a symbiotic relationship, as they say, man. Symbiosis, man.
I think he's going to be back, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding for him to get back. Yeah. But Curtis Samuel, after his 100-plus-yard game last week, 8 yards receiving.
Ouch.
Ay, Dios mío. Nelson Aguilar had 8 yards receiving also after, he had 3 weeks in a row with touchdowns. Travis Fulgham was the number one, as everybody was talking about, he's the number one receiver, and the Giants just, they put a blanket on him today. I think it was the James Bradbury treatment, also 8 yards receiving. I mean, it's...
Ouch.
I mean, we didn't talk about that one. That's a frustrating loss for the Eagles. I mean, to get dominated by the Giants that way. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, the Giants are not good. How does that even happen?
Georgie, what was I telling you, though? I'm excited for this. I'm excited because look at the next 2 weeks. Ooh, the NFC East is going to have someone who is like 4 wins, 4-8.
Like, and be in first place.
Yeah. Ooh, it's going to be fun.
You've been on that one. You have been on that one. And on the tight ends, Ricky, I put Noah Fant in there just because I know you like to rant on him for one of your buddies.
Because they're so high on him. They're so high on him, but look at him. He's garbage.
Evan Engram, he let me down in DFS today. Only 15 yards after I think it was
great catch at the goal line, just out of bounds.
He had 3 weeks in a row where he had he just was a target monster. And just this week, no. TJ Hockenson, 13 yards receiving on 2 receptions. So that was a tough
one.
Not gonna do it. So. Well, that's going to do it for Adios Mio. Let's do a quick Monday Night Football preview. The Minnesota Vikings, 3-5 at the Chicago Bears, 5-4. The Vikings are 3.5-point favorites, which kind of surprises me, and I'll talk about it in a second.
They've been doing better lately.
They have been. I think they've gotten
Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is the reason. The reason.
I feel like they've gotten fat against the bad run defenses. And so, but yeah, it's a 43.5 over under. It's going to be 31 degrees tomorrow evening with 14-mile-an-hour winds, no rain in the forecast. But to me,
that does feel that just thinking about that, I just want to go get a blanket. That's just
you can already hear the NFL films music.
Right. And you know, the smoke, you know, the steam coming out of, you know, that as they're breathing, like, you know, the linemen are lined up against each other and they're all breathing and like the smoke is coming out and it's like all dramatic and slow motion. But 31 degrees, that's before wind chill. You got 14 mile per hour winds and it's 31 degrees. It's going to feel like 20 something degrees, which I don't even want to feel what 25 degrees feels like. Much less 31 degrees. So I feel bad for these guys, whatever. Go out and play in the freezing cold. But yeah, that 43 and a half over under, I'll probably take the under only because these games can be that way when they're cold. However, that being said, the X factor there is Dalvin Cook because that guy's going to run no matter what the temperature is. And I wouldn't be surprised if that guy gets two touchdowns that game.
God, I hope they can hold him off. All I have to look forward to is the fact that Nick Foles has the chance, if Allen Robinson does play, him and Mooney and even Graham, if they can take advantage of this weak Minnesota defense against the wide receivers and the quarterback, hopefully they can get out to a big enough lead to where Minnesota's dumb enough to abandon the running game. They haven't been that dumb. They've been going with it even when they've been behind by 21 points. Like in the first game against Green Bay, but we'll see, because if they can only be two touchdowns away and know that all they got to do is throw it to Thielen or Jefferson, maybe they'll be fools and get fooled into it, especially if Chicago can shut down the run, because they do have a pretty good defense. So
they have a good defense. I'm hoping they hold Dalvin Cook under 20 points.
I need them to. I am like barely that. Beating my buddy by like 10 points, and all he has is Dalvin Cook. And 10 points because freaking Mark Andrews and Marquise Brown and Baltimore defense crap the bed.
Dalvin Cook will get 10 points tomorrow, Rick. Guaranteed.
Yeah, just don't let him get 20. Just don't let him get 20. We got to bring Primo Jose back to the pack a little
if
bit.
If he can get under 5 yards and Chicago have a miracle, please, please, please.
I'm thinking this game is I think the Bears are going to upset this game. I think they're definitely going to cover. I think they're going to win outright because they've got a great defense going up against a defense that is pretty one-dimensional. I mean, I know Thielen and Jefferson are good, but they're really centered around Dalvin Cook. And if they could hold him under 100 yards, I like the Bears' chances. And especially considering, you know, if Allen Robinson is healthy, he's got a knee injury, so he's been questionable. But if Foles can find those receivers a little bit against that weak Minnesota pass defense, it could be good for them. But yeah, and I think and actually this is the one thing, Minnesota being a dome team going into the elements, it's not so good for those teams. So
nope,
we'll see. You guys, any running back that you would play tomorrow night?
Cook.
Any Bear running back?
Oh,
Patterson. I'm like a very, 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 very cheap flyer.
Probably, especially if it's PPR.
I would want Mooney and Robinson all the way.
Oh yes, Clado Casillas, maybe even Jimmy Graham too. So
yeah, if you have to.
Oh man, well, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please make sure you subscribe, leave us a review at Apple, Google, and Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts, you can find us. Remember, Twitter at Familia FFB, familiaffb.com on our website, and check out our Familia FFB Facebook page. Otra vez, gracias, everybody. Keep praying for Tommy Lasorda. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.